The following is a Sunday feast lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on November 4, 2001 in Mumbai.
Guru Vaishnavamscha. The month of Kartik. Is to be understood as that particular month of the year that is especially blessed by Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimati Radharani is the ultimate reservoir of all love and devotion to Lord Sri Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has said that if one is favored by Sri Radharani, she will personally approach Krishna. Please accept this devotee. He or she is better than me. Hearing these words from his most beloved, Krishna cannot refuse to accept us. How to please Sri Radharani is to sincerely, with a grateful heart, accept the role of the servant of the servant of the servant of her servants and chant the holy names of the Lord. This month of Kartik is especially blessed because any devotional activities performed in this month are given very special attention to Sri Radharani, and therefore she blesses such devotees with her causeless mercy. Therefore, of all months, the Kartik Mas is most dear and sacred to all Vaishnavas. During the month, the Lord performed some of his most resplendent pastimes in Sri Vrindavan Dham. On Sarat Purnima, he performed Raslila. There is also Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill as Girivaradhari. He expressed his unlimited love for his devotees and fully reciprocated with each and every one of them as he stood beneath the Govardhan Hill for 7 days and seven nights. On the day of Deepavali, Krishna performed his lila of Damodar, being bound by the ropes of Mother Yashoda. Our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he chose to make his residence in Vrindavan at the temple of Sri Sri Radha Damodar. And he taught us that one of the most pleasing and effective means of progressing in Krishna consciousness is to every day sing the Damodar Askakam found in the Padma Purana every day in the month of Kartik. It is celebrating Sri Bal Gopal, who is conquered by the love of his devotees. Today, with your permission and blessings, I would like to invite you to sing together Sri Damodarastakam, after which I will make some insignificant attempt to speak a few words about this most glorious pastime of the Supreme Personality of God.
Namamishwaram Satchit Anandarupam Lasat Kundalam Kokule Prajamanam. Yasoda biolukala tavamanam param rishyam atyanta totrutya gopya. Rutantam muhurnetra jukmam rijantam karam bhoja jukmena satanga netram. Mohu swasa kampatri rehanka kanta stitam graivam damodaram bhakti badam. Iti Drikswalila Bir Ananda Kunde Swakosham Nimajantam Akhyapayantam. Hadi eshita gyeshu bhaktaya jitatvam puna prematastam satta pritivande. Varam devam moksham na moksha vadim va na chandyam braneham vare shadapiha. Idam teva purnatha gopala palam sada me manasya virastam kimanyai. Idam te mukham bojam adyanta nilayar britam kundalai snigda raktaisya gopya. Idam Mohoschambitam bimbarakta dharame manasya virastam alam lakshalabhai. Namo Deva Damodar Ananda Vishnu Prasida Prabodhu Kajala Vimagnam. Kripa Dristi Vristyati Dinam Bhatanu Grihanesha Mama Gyam Etyakshi Drisya. Kuveratma Jaubada Mutyai Vayadvad Vaya mochito bhakti bhajo krito cha. Tata prema bhaktim svakame prayacha namokshe graho me stita modariha. Namaste stu tamne spura dipti tamne Tvadiyo darayatya vishvasya dhamne.
Namaste stu tamne spura dipti tamne Tvadiyo darayatya vishvasya dhamne.
Namo radikayai tvadiya priyayai Namo Nanda Lilaya Devaya Tubhyam.
Namo Radhikaya Tvadiya Priyaya Namo Nanda Lilaya Devaya Tubhyam.
Namam Ishwaram Satchit Ananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Prajamanam. Yasoda piyoluka ladhavamanam param rishya matyanta todrutya gopya.
Yasoda piyoluka ladhavamanam param rishya matyanta todrutya gopya.
To the Supreme Lord, whose form is the embodiment of eternal existence, knowledge, and bliss, whose shark-shaped earrings are swinging to and fro, who is beautifully shining in the divine realm of Gokula, who, due to the offense of breaking the pot of yogurt that his mother was churning into butter, and then stealing the butter that was kept hanging from a swing, is quickly running from the wooden grinding mortar in fear of Mother Yashoda, but who has been caught from behind by her, who ran after him with greater speed. To that Supreme Lord, Sri Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances. This pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has attracted the hearts of devotees since time immemorial. In this material world, a person acts because they have a desire that is unfulfilled, that they must work to somehow satisfy. Or, if a person is somewhat satisfied, he acts for recreation to satisfy another need. However, Krishna, he is self-satisfied. He is Atmarama. He is the embodiment of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. He's the proprietor of everything. He's the reservoir of all pleasure. So why does the Absolute Truth engage in activities? Simply for the sake of giving pleasure to his devotees, to fulfill the desires of his devotees. This is the Leela of the Lord. In Vrindavan Dham, the Lord has revealed his most pleasing pastimes with his devotees. It is the ultimate abode of ecstatic, spontaneous love. In this material world, people are trying to be happy by exploiting the resources that belong to God. And our every action, our every word, creates a bondage to the laws of karma. Krishna tells us in Gita, Yehi samsparashaja bhoga dukajo naipite atyanta banta konte anate shuramate buddha. That the objects of pleasure that we're trying to find satisfaction in attaining are the sources of misery, because they are all temporary. The soul is eternal. It can never find real fulfillment in the temporary objects of this illusory world. Srila Prabhupada compared it to getting a drop of water in a desert. We need enormous amounts of water when we are starving in the dryness of the desert. One drop seems to give us some relief, but when it evaporates, it only aggravates and intensifies our thirst. That is pleasure in this material world. Abrama bhuvana loka punaravartano arjuna mamupetyatu kontiya punarjanmana vidyate. From the highest abode of Brahma down to Patala loka and all planets in between, they're all places of suffering. Because the soul is trying to enjoy, like a fish trying to enjoy outside of the water. It's unnatural. But beyond this material existence, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, is the spiritual world. Within the Paravyoma, or the spiritual sky, there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets. In the Vaikunthas, everyone is serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead in pure ecstatic love. They are all conscious that Krishna or Narayan is the Supreme Master. We are all servants. There is absolutely nothing in all of their hearts that they ever desire except the satisfaction of Lord Narayan. Those who attain the liberation within the Brahma Jyoti, they may find some relief from the miseries of material existence, but there is no positive spiritual pleasure in impersonal mukti, because it is bereft of the real need of the soul, intimate, loving exchange with God. Vaikuntha is that place where the desire is fulfilled. It is the place of Aishwarya Bhakti, where everyone is conscious of the supreme majesty of the Absolute Personality of Godhead. And everyone worships Him with all their hearts.
Of all the Vaikuntha planets, the planet of Krishna Loka is supreme. Because within that is Goloka Vrindavan, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives His devotees the greatest opportunity to participate in the pastimes of the highest expressions of love. It is the Madhurya Dham, where the sweetness of Krishna is exhibited in such a beautiful way that people are not concerned whether He's God or not. Although they have full realization of all of His opulences, His sweetness supersedes and covers those realizations. And they love Krishna intimately. The gopas love Him as their best, dearmost friend. Sometimes they wrestle with Krishna and defeat Him. And Krishna has to carry Him on the shoulders. Sometimes they're on the bank of Jamuna and taking prasad. Krishna sees some nice food that his friend is eating. And after the friend takes bite from his mouth, Krishna grabs it from his hand and eats it himself. This is not to be seen in Vaikuntha. And his friends, they're not thinking, I have offended the Lord, He has eaten my remnants. They are thinking, Krishna, you want more? Here. Do you like it from my mouth? Take more. Whatever pleases you, Krishna. That is spontaneous love. You just see, in this world, we have to follow the rules and regulations of bhakti. We cannot artificially imitate these divine persons. When Krishna takes the food from the gopas aren't ringing bells and chanting mantras and making all achmans in order for the offering to be bona fide. They don't even ask Krishna to eat it. He just takes it because he's so much hungry for the love of his devotee. And the gopis of Vrindavan, the cows of Vrindavan, they are all serving Krishna in such intimate love. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates have personally descended into this world to give us the opportunity in this very life to realize this ultimate abode of Vrindavan within our own hearts and live in the service of Sri Vrindavan Dham, and at the time of death be promoted to that world forever. Once in a day of Brahma, Krishna descends and brings his eternal abode with him. The Vrindavan that is in this world, Gokul, is non-different than the Vrindavan of the spiritual world. For those fortunate souls who have purified their hearts and received the mercy of Sri Guru and Gauranga, they can realize and perceive this truth. In the month of Kartik, one of these wonderful pastimes took place. It is called Dhammabandhana, the binding of the waist of the Lord. Indra Puja was being prepared by the residents of Vrindavan because that was their annual tradition. The new moon day approached. It became Diwali. On that morning, Yashoda Mai, she woke very early. And she engaged all of her assistants in various other activities. And she decided to personally churn the yogurt to make the butter for Krishna. She had such love for Krishna, unlimited, intimate love for Krishna. Her every word, her every thought, her every action was simply for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishna was very restless. Sometimes gopis, they would come to complain that Krishna was stealing the butter from their houses. One day, gopis gathered together and told Yashoda Mai that this naughty child of yours, Gopal, we don't know what to do with him. He comes early in the morning, before we milk the cows. He secretly releases the calves. The calves run to their mothers, drink all the milk, and then when we go to milk the cows, there's no milk left. Or sometimes, your Gopal, he will secretly enter into our house, and he will break our pots of butter and yogurts and sweets, and he will eat it and fill his belly. And then he will invite so many monkeys into the house. And he will start feeding our butter to the monkeys. And when our husbands, the cowherd men, when they see this and hear this, they come running. You thief, stop, stop. And Krishna just smiles at them and says, I'm not a thief, you're a thief. And then he runs away. And our husbands can't catch him. And sometimes we hide the butter very, very carefully so he can't find it. If he can't find it, then he creates more mischief. He'll go to our little sleeping babies and pinch them and put water in their ears and make them cry. Or sometimes he will pass water, urine, and stool on our floor of our house. Sometimes when it's very, very dark, these boys, they're so effulgent that they just illuminate everything just so that they could steal our butter. Look at him just now. He's looking so innocent. But we know for sure that right now he's just making another plot with his friends, a conspiracy to steal our butter. Yashoda Mai, she was smiling upon hearing these complaints. And all the gopis were smiling as they were making the complaints. She said, then I will keep Krishna at home. I will not allow him to come out. She said, no, don't do that. Because actually in their hearts, they only churn their butter for one purpose, with the hope and prayer that Krishna would come to steal it. Their whole existence was just waiting for Krishna to steal whatever they have prepared. That was their love. In fact, some days, Krishna would not come to a gopi's house to steal their butter. The gopis became very much struck with anxiety. They would come to Mother Yashoda and say, is there something wrong with Gopal? Is he all right? Where is he? In separation. Actually, Krishna can never steal anything. Why? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna teaches preliminary truths before understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Bhoktaram Yagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvam Omshuntam Richchati. That I am the proprietor of everything that exists. Everything is meant for my enjoyment. I'm the well-wishing friend and benefactor of all, and one who understands this can achieve real peace. Krishna has created everything. Krishna is maintaining everything. Ultimately, in the form of time, Krishna will destroy everything. Therefore, Krishna is the proprietor of everything that exists. So what is the question of him stealing? It's all his. It's all meant for his enjoyment. However, Krishna, just to reciprocate with the love of his devotees in this wonderful way, he appears to steal. But actually, what is he stealing? The butter represents their love and devotion. The butter represents their hearts. When Krishna steals their butter, he is stealing their hearts. And similarly, when we become purified and our hard hearts, hardened by anger, greed, pride, envy, anger and illusion, when our hearts become soft by chanting the holy names, by hearing about Krishna, by associating with devotees, by worshiping the deities, by praying to the Lord, by serving his servants, that soft, butter-like heart Krishna will steal. And that is the ultimate goal of every devotee. As the gopis were playing, "Please, Krishna, steal our butter," we are praying, "Please, Krishna, please steal our hearts." Our hearts are now captive by the imprisonment of material energy. Please rescue me, steal me from here. I am your property. So Krishna can never act immorally. He's the absolute truth. Whatever he says is the absolute truth. Although to increase the love of his devotees, sometimes the absolute truth is in the guise of a lie. He's the proprietor of everything, but sometimes he steals. This is his lila. Krishna is Lilananda. He enjoys the ultimate satisfaction in performing pastimes with his devotees. And the devotee is called Premananda because they enjoy greatly offering their pure love to Krishna. And what happens when Lilananda and Premananda merge together? It becomes Paramananda, the supreme ultimate of all bliss. Of which Rupa Goswami says, Brahmananda, the bliss of understanding Brahman, is like a fraction of a particle of one drop compared to the unlimited, fathomless, bottomless ocean of Premananda. The satisfaction that comes through rendering loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Jashoda Mai, in order to somehow or other satisfy Krishna so he wouldn't go to other gopis' houses to steal butter, she was making so many arrangements. One of them is, out of the 900,000 cows of Nanda Maharaj, there was just about 8 cows which were the best of all cows, called Padmaganda. These Padmaganda cows, they would not eat ordinary grass. Just like a swan, he can separate milk from water. These Padmaganda cows would only take the sweetest, most fragrant nectarine blades of grass and eat them. So Yashoda Mai, she would personally grow this type of grass. And she personally took charge with her own hands of the Padmaganda cows. She would feed them the grass, she would milk them. And she was thinking, if my assistants churn the yogurt made from the milk of these fragrant cows, then Krishna may not be satisfied. So she personally performed the work of churning the butter herself. The milk of the Padmaganda cows is said to be
more sweet than the lotus flowers of Goloka Vrindavan in their fragrance.
On this morning, she wanted to turn the yogurt into butter and have it prepared before Krishna would wake up. Because once he woke up, she was very busy with him. So she was churning. And it is described by the great acharyas that one who meditates on the beautiful sight of Yasoda Mai churning this butter, they will become purified and surely attain love of Krishna in due course of time. She was wearing a saffron, yellowish sari. She had beautiful belt around her waist. Her hair was decorated with flowers from the malati vines. As she was churning the butter, her body was swinging to and fro very, very gracefully. And she was singing the glories of Krishna's childhood pastimes. Traditionally in India, if people want to remember something, they make a poem or song about it and sing it, and therefore it's very easy for them to always remember that. It's like every Saturday night we sing these beautiful bhajans here at Radha Gopinath Temple of the great acharyas. And these bhajans, they imbibe the essence of all philosophy and knowledge. But they're so pleasing to sing in charming melodies. And in this way, it's very easy to just 24 hours a day remember Krishna just by chanting his pastimes or chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
When Srila Prabhupada was asked, how could we always remember Krishna? He said, any place, anywhere, you can chant his names. Devotees approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri and asked, of the 9 processes of devotional service, which is most important? And he said, immediately, the most important process is the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Because anybody can chant the holy names anywhere and at any time and remember Krishna. So Yashoda Mai, in a very sweet, loving voice, was singing about the pastimes of her beloved Gopal. As she was singing, her body was going to and fro while churning the yogurt. And the bangles and bracelets, they were making beautiful, beautiful ringing bell-like noise. Like the most excellent musical instruments, they were accompanying her singing. And the earrings on her ears were beautifully dancing back and forth to her beautiful song. Remembering Krishna with such parental love, milk began to flow from her breast. Krishna, who was sleeping, happens to be the Paramatma within everyone's heart. He knows everything. And what he is most attentive of is the loving feelings of his devotee. So Krishna, knowing that Yashoda Mai, in parental affection, was churning the butter, he got up from his bed and came running to Mother Yashoda.
He pulled her sari, and she smiled at him and continued churning.
But he was thinking, he wanted to prove the point. When the supreme object of all of your actions is standing before you and has a desire, then there's no need to perform any other action whatsoever.
Sarvadharman parityaja.
Just please me. So Yashoda Mai was just smiling, and he was pulling, and she was smiling, and he was pulling, and finally he actually held the churning rod so she couldn't churn anymore. And he said, "Mother, I am hungry for your milk." How is this possible? For the absolute truth to be hungry? He's lacking nothing. But yet Krishna is eternally hungry for the love of his devotees. So Mother Yashoda embraced Krishna. Then she sat down and placed Krishna on her lap and began to offer him the nectar of her love in the form of the milk from her body. Krishna was happily drinking. But in the next room, the milk that Yashoda Mai was preparing for Krishna, which happened to be this Padmaganda, very, very precious, fragrant milk, it began to boil over under the fire. Our acharyas explained to us, in the spiritual world, everything is a person, everything is conscious. Therefore, the milk is actually a transcendental devotee who wants to simply give its life to please Krishna. And although the milk, Padmaganda, best of all types of milk, when he saw Krishna drinking from Yashoda Mai's breast, that milk became very humble. That there's no way, after drinking Yashoda Mai's milk, he's ever going to want to drink me. There's no comparison. He's just going to go on drinking her milk for the rest of eternity. So what's the use of my life if I can't serve Krishna? This is the mood of a devotee. We live only for the service of Krishna. If we can't serve Krishna, we have no reason to exist. So the milk was thinking, let me commit suicide by entering into fire. And therefore, he boiled over and started jumping into the fire. Yashoda Mai saw this, and she put down Krishna. Because if she carried him, he would be heavy, and she wouldn't get to save the milk in time. So she placed down Krishna and ran to the stove. Now one may ask, why did she put down Krishna for some milk? But actually, the milk was for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada calls this tadiya, the paraphernalia of Krishna, the devotees of Krishna, the property of Krishna, are as sacred as Krishna himself. Sometimes devotees are in this dilemma. We're faced with immediate situations where there's two very, 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 very important services that have to be done immediately, and we have to decide which one to do first. Have any of you ever been in a similar situation? So Yashoda Mai understood what will please Krishna most is to serve his devotees. So she ran to the milk. Meanwhile, Gopal, he wanted to teach a good lesson to the world, and also he wanted to perform a very transcendentally pleasing pastime. So he became angry, very angry. His lips are described by Satyavrat Muni as being bright red, like the bimba fruit. Those lips began to tremble in anger. Then he bit his lip
with his teeth.
Now the acharyas explain that Krishna wanted to show that when your desires are unfulfilled, you become angry. The red lips, red represents the mode of passion. And the only way to control the mode of passion is with the mode of goodness, which represents the white teeth that Krishna controlled his trembling lips with. Then he picked up the stone that was used to grind the spices by Yashoda Mai. And he took that stone and he crashed it against the pot that was churning the yogurt into butter. Broke it to pieces. He stole some of it. And then he ran into the next room. When he was in the next room, he took the grinding mortar made of wood and he turned it upside down and climbed on top of it. Meanwhile, Yashoda Mai, she came back looking for Krishna. She was remembering as she was feeding her milk to Krishna. Yashoda Mai was gazing upon his beautiful, beautiful moon-like face. As she was seeing that childlike face, her heart was inundated in divine ecstasy. When she returned, Gopal was gone, and there was the pot of yogurt broken into pieces. At first she was confused, and then she saw it. It is that naughty Gopal who has done this. That is for certain. So where to find him? She saw that he stepped in the butter that was churned, and she followed, like a detective, the butter footprints of Gopal. It led her into the next room. There she found Gopal sitting on top of the upside-down grinding mortar, feeding the butter to an assembly of monkeys right in her house. Why was Krishna feeding the butter to the monkeys? Our acharyas explained the reason. One of the reasons. Whatever Krishna does, there's so many unlimited reasons. When Krishna appeared as Lord Sri Ramchandra, many, many monkeys appeared to help him. He was in a place called Kishkindha Kshetra, searching for Sita Devi. Could not find her anywhere. At that time, he was banished from Ayodhya and he was living in the forest. Those monkeys, they surrendered their lives and souls to Lord Ram. They searched for 4 full months looking for Sita. And finally, when she was found in Sri Lanka, they assisted Ram in the entire battle. So many inconveniences, so many sacrifices to fight that mammoth battle against the Rakshasas. But at that time, because Lord Ram was living in the forest, he never had any proper food to feed them. They sacrificed their lives for me, and I couldn't even feed them properly. So now that he was the son of Nanda and Yashoda, he had so much butter in the house. So he wanted to repay the monkeys by inviting them in and feeding them. And they were so grateful. They were all just sitting there with their hands open, and Krishna was just putting more and more butter in their hands, and they were eating it and taking more and more and more. They were dancing in ecstasy as they were eating the butter. Yashoda Mai saw this. She picked up a whipping stick
not to hit him, but to show him. Prabhupada said like this in our Gurukuls, never hit the children, but you can show them a stick just to make them take you seriously. When she saw Krishna feeding monkeys, he was looking this way and that way in great fear.
Because he wanted to show the world that if you're doing something wrong, fear will be stricken in your heart.
He was looking this way, that way. Meanwhile, the crows, they were also eating the butter that was dropping to the floor and being fed by Krishna. They saw Yashoda Maya and they immediately understood what was going to happen. And they flew out of the house. The monkey saw her.
But she was approaching very, very quietly from behind, so Krishna did not see.
Immediately, the monkeys just started jumping out of the windows. And Krishna turned around, and to his great surprise, there was his mother with a stick in her hand. And he turned this way and that way. He jumped off the grinding mortar and started running for his life.
Out of parental affection. She is not seeing him as God. She's just seeing him as a naughty son.
So she has to educate him properly. It's the duty of a mother.
So she went chasing after Krishna, and Krishna was running, and she was chasing, and Krishna was running, and she was chasing.
As she was running, she was perspiring. It explained her perspiration was like beautiful jeweled pearls upon her golden-like face.
And the malati flowers that were in her hair, some of them, they were falling to her lotus feet because they were thinking that we don't deserve to be in her hair. We should actually be decorating her lotus feet. And some of them were thinking that she's going to chastise Krishna. And we don't want to participate in this. We are going to protest and not cooperate with her. So they just jumped off her and fell to the ground. And others were thinking that this is a very, very wonderful Leela. She's going to chastise Krishna. And she can't catch Krishna. Maybe it's because we're too heavy and we're making her go too slow. So if we jump off, it will lighten the burden so she can catch Krishna. So each flower, in a sentiment of pure unalloyed devotion, was rendering devotional service. She ran and ran. And the great acharyas teach us that who could catch Krishna? Even the greatest yogis. Birth after birth after birth, they perform tapasya and meditate, but they can never capture Krishna. And the jnanis, they could read the scriptures birth after birth after birth with erudite knowledge and great memorization of slokas, but they can never capture Krishna. But Krishna allowed himself to be captured by Mother Yashoda because he wanted to teach the world that only pure love and devotion could conquer the Lord. When Yashoda Mai took Krishna by the hand with one hand, she was holding the stick in the other. Krishna's entire body was trembling in fear. His heart began to beat so hard and so fast that his entire chest was just going up and down and up and down and up and down. His beautiful lotus-like eyes were blinking with so much fearfulness. And there were torrents of tears flowing from his eyes, mixing with the ointment decorating his eyes and covering his whole body with a beautiful, beautiful black ornament.
meditation.
Seeing Krishna in this state, Mother Yashoda was charmed with affection. Meanwhile, Krishna was praying for Nanda Maharaj to come and rescue him from the wrath of his mother. Queen Kunti, she offered beautiful prayer, meditating on this incredible scene of devotion. She prayed that Krishna is feared by fear personified, but yet he's trembling and weeping in fear before Mother Yashoda. The greatest asuras, Putana, Trinavarta, Agasura, great demons like Kamsa, he was absolutely no fear of. But Yashoda Mai, she's just a simple gopi. But because of her love, he expressed that fear to show how he is bhaktivatsal. He is always the property of those who love him. Yashoda means one who gives fame. And in this particular pastime, Yashoda is giving fame to Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yashoda Mai asked Krishna, "Dear Gopal, O friend of the monkeys, why did you break the pot and steal the butter?" Gopal said, "Please put down the stick and I'll tell you. Please put down that stick." He said, "I did it. I admit it. I did it." The acharyas explain that he appeared just like a criminal that had just been caught by the police. And he was confessing. You know, when you go to the courts, if you plead not guilty and you're found guilty, you'll get a very heavy penalty. Because not only are you guilty of the crime, but you're guilty of telling lies under oath before the judge and everything. So if a person who is guilty wants leniency, he begs for mercy and admits, "I did it." So this was Krishna's mood. He was begging for mercy from Mother Yashoda. "Please put down that stick. I did it. I stole the butter. But I promise you, I will never, ever, ever do it again." So Yashoda Mai threw the stick away. And then it was time to cook breakfast for Krishna. So she was thinking, while I'm cooking breakfast, Krishna may engage in so many other naughty activities. He may get in trouble. He may be in danger. And since all the other assistants were doing other services, she decided to bind Krishna to the grinding mortar. Why did she want to bind him to the grinding mortar? Because that grinding mortar was an accomplice to the act of stealing. He was sitting on it as he was going way up into the rafters with the butter hanging from ropes. So she took some rope and she put it around his body. Now, this is a very interesting scientific phenomena. When you want to bind something, you put the rope around the object. But how can you bind Krishna? Because for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's no inside and there's no outside. There's no past, present, and future. There's no limitation of time or geographical space. Krishna is the creator of everything. Previously, Yashoda Mai looked in Krishna's mouth and she saw the entire universe. So it's impossible to bind Krishna. So she placed the rope around his body, but she found it was the width of two fingers too short. So she tied more rope and went to put that around Krishna's body, but it was the same amount, two fingers too short. She took all the rope in Nanda Maharaja's house, tied it all together, still two fingers too short. The news came to other gopis. They wanted to see this fun. They all came from all over Brajbhumi with all the ropes of their houses. All the rope in Brajbhumi was there. And she tied everything together, one after another, and it was still two fingers too short. The gopis were saying to Mother Yashoda, "Why can't you tie him? We see that he's wearing around his waist, there's a chain with golden bells on it. You easily tied that around his waist, so why can't you tie these ropes around his waist?" And meanwhile, she just kept trying. And meanwhile, gopis, all different colored ropes, they were supplying to her, and she was putting them around and putting them around and putting them around, and they were supplying and tying, and she was putting around. There was hundreds of meters of ropes, and still it was exactly two fingers too short. But the amazing thing is Gopal's waist did not increase at all. How is that possible? Achintya Shakti. Krishna has inconceivable potencies. There is no restriction to what Krishna can do to charm the hearts of his devotees. If we try to utilize our scientifically trained intelligence to understand this principle of what happened in this pastime, you'll be totally bewildered, as most scientists are. They're confused and bewildered. They say, "This is mythology. This is impossible. How can you have thousands of meters of ropes and a little boy's waist, which is only maybe a foot in circumference, and you can't put it around it?" Hare Krishna. But for a devotee, it makes all the sense in the world. We can only understand these things when we have faith. Faith in the inconceivable, wonderful nature of God. Therefore, any fantastic thing we read about in the scriptures about Krishna, people say, "It's impossible. How could this be?" We know that Krishna can do anything. Maybe it's impossible for you, and maybe it's impossible for your mother and father and your grandfather and all your ancestors, but it's not impossible for Krishna. He is unlimited. If he wants, he can put the entire population of the universe on the head of a needle, and they'll all live together with no skyscraper buildings. Each one will have a beautiful palace with lakes and parks and big wide roads. Hare Krishna. Krishna can do anything. And if you doubt it, it is because we have not received the mercy of the Lord. So Mother Yashoda's house was a great festival of ropes. Everyone was smiling and smiling and smiling to see this incredible wonder. And meanwhile, Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, they were watching from a little distance. And they were really in anxiety that our best beloved friend Gopal, he's going to get bound up by ropes. What can we do? We have to do something to help him. But they saw Yashoda Mai. She was very serious. Krishna saw that she was perspiring, that flowers were falling from her hair and her hair was getting all disarrayed. She was working so hard just to show her love and protection to him. He was conquered by that love. Gopal allowed himself to be bound up and tied by the ropes of the love of Yashoda Mai. After he was bound by the grinding mortar with ropes, Yashoda Mai went to cook breakfast for Krishna. Meanwhile, the friends of Krishna, they wanted so much to deliver him. They didn't like to see him like this. When Yashoda Mai was binding him, he was crying. But when he looked at his friends, he would smile. And then when he'd look back at Yashoda, he would cry. So his friends, they couldn't untie it, because she tied it in Vatsalya Ras, which is a superior form of love than Sakya Ras. So it couldn't be untied by any of their devotional efforts. So they actually started coaching Krishna what he should do. Why don't you try crawling? So Krishna began to crawl. And as he crawled, he happened to see two very gigantic Arjuna trees standing right next to each other. Arjuna trees can grow very, very high. These trees were so thick and so up in the sky, and the roots go so deep in the ground. Of all trees, the Arjuna tree is actually the most difficult to knock over. One of our god brothers, Dinabandhu Prabhu, told us when he was in Mauritius, there was a cyclone and all the trees practically were knocked down, but none of the Arjuna trees fell. Very stalwart trees. Krishna saw those two trees. And although he was in the role of an innocent little baby, Gopal, he began to think of his devotee, Narada Muni. Narada Muni, you know the story. He saw the two sons of Kuvera, Manigriva and Nala Kuvera, bathing naked in a lake with so many beautiful girls, and shamelessly offering no respect to him. They were intoxicated with pride, because they were the sons of Kuvera, the treasurer of the Devatas. They had so much wealth, they had so much strength, they had all mystical powers, they were beautiful, they were young, all the girls loved them. They had everything materially anyone could want, so they became proud. And when you're proud, you don't offer proper respects to superior personalities. And that is always a downfall, whoever you may be. So Narada Muni, out of mercy, cursed them with the blessing that they would become two Arjuna trees. And they stood there in Nanda Maharaja's courtyard for hundreds of years. But they were allowed by the grace of Narada to witness the beautiful childhood pastimes of Gopal Krishna. So Krishna wanted to deliver them, because they were dear to his devotee. So he began to crawl, and that wooden grinding mortar was being dragged behind, and he entered between the trees, and the grinding mortar got caught on each of the tree, and very gently he just pulled, and the trees collapsed to the ground.
it made such a tumultuous sound, like thunder during the rains of the devastation of the universe. The sound was so loud that it literally cracked the covering of the universe. So hearing this very, very deadly resounding noise, Nanda, Yashoda, the Brijabasis, they all came running to see what's happening. There they saw these big, big Arjuna trees, and just between them, hardly inches away from each one, was little Gopal on his hands and knees, with tied to the grinding mortar. Previous to that, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, they came out of the trees and they offered their obeisances to Krishna and surrendered their lives and attained pure devotional service and returned to their abodes with Krishna's blessing. When Nanda Maharaj came, he was thinking, what is this that my wife Yashoda Mai has done? She's tied up my Gopal and look what's happened. So Nanda Maharaj untied Krishna and put him on his lap. Krishna was very happy. Meanwhile, the cowherd men, they came running around. What happened? How did these trees fall? One was thinking, maybe they're just really old trees with old roots and they fell. But then they saw that the roots were very young and fresh and strong and hard like thunderbolts. So that couldn't have happened. Or maybe this child Krishna is so wonderful. Maybe Mother Earth wanted to offer her prostrated obeisances through these trees to this boy. They were speculating in so many ways. And then the little children, cowherd boys, that happened to watch the whole thing, they said, we know exactly what happened. We saw it with our eyes. What happened? What happened? Gopal crawled. And he dragged the grinding mortar, and he pulled it between the trees, and he pulled these two great trees down to the ground. We saw it with our own eyes. And the Gopa said, impossible. Gopal cannot do that. Why should we listen to these children? Meanwhile, Yashoda Mai, when she heard this terrible sounds of these trees falling, she felt in her heart that her child was in danger. She was frantic. She was weeping and crying. She was running like anything to see Gopal. And there she saw the trees knocked down on either side of him. And he was sitting in Nanda Maharaj's lap. And he didn't look at her. She was thinking that I caused such pain to my child. She just went to a secluded place and began to weep and cry, her heart broken, that she caused unhappiness to her beloved Krishna. Rohini Devi came and said to Krishna that Yashoda Mai, she's weeping and crying because she thinks that she displeased you. She's on the verge of death. So Gopal jumped out of Nanda Maharaj's arms and came running to Yashoda saying, Mata, Mata, please give me your milk. Yashoda Mai came running to Krishna, and she picked him up and embraced him, placed him on her lap, and began to feed him with the milk from her breast. As she was gazing at Krishna, with her heart overflowing with love, she was weeping, weeping incessant tears, thinking, what have I done? I tied up my own son and caused this great calamity. And Krishna said to Yashoda Mai, he said, previously, I was crying and you were smiling. But now I am reciprocating with your love and you are crying and I am smiling. Please feed me the nectarine milk of your love. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai.
Satyavrat Muni, in his beautiful prayer, he is praying to Lord Damodar that I do not want any of the wealth of this world, even in the heavenly planets, nor do I want all the 8 mystic powers that the yogis are so eager to achieve. I do not even want liberation or even elevation to Vaikuntha. My only desire is this beautiful lila of Damodar, where you as Bal Gopal is being bound by the ropes of your mother's love, that this lila may forever be reenacted within my heart. One who remembers this pastime each day during the day of Kartik with genuine and sincere prayer, in the spirit of the servant of the servant of the servant, will certainly attain Krishna's unlimited mercy. These wonderful, wonderful activities of the Lord were displayed in this world simply so that his devotees would find great pleasure, and also so that the conditioned souls could be liberated from all the pangs of material suffering by ever being attracted to the all-attractive. This was Srila Prabhupada's mission: to attract people's hearts to the beautiful pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In his Krishna book, where he describes in summary the leelas of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explained that anyone who seriously studies just this book with faith will attain the ultimate destination of life, pure devotional service. Thank you very much. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.